To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its sponsor, Christy Dougherty, and its super duper sugar mama super sponsor, Madonna Hines with a sexy J. We love you, girls. Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast, and also the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobooks podcast, and here I am with the gorgeous, thin, talented, football-watching, chocolate-almond-eating Ben Mabrooker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blunder. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. Happy Friday, Batch.
Happy Friday, Batch. We made it.
We did it. Today, we are going to be talking about Summer House, the Summer Home, and a little bit of Married to Medicine.
I think we already talked about Married to Medicine, didn't we? Oh, wait, are we? Oh, I see. We're splicing it in, aren't we?
It's a splicer.
I thought we were adding it on to Ladies of London.
This was the big premiere episode. And by premiere, I mean the third episode.
Well, before we get into Summer House, I know you're very excited to get into Summer House, but we can't just go directly to the Summer House, can we?
Well, how can be?
Because we gotta check the mail first, darling. Oh. Crappens mailbag. We have a lot of questions in here still.
Good.
Yeah, it is good. By the way, as a reminder, if you want to submit a question to the Crappens mailbag, you just have to support us at the $5 level on Patreon, and then you can get your question asked on the air. You could be like Alejandro M., who asks, or writes, or says, "Since I am binge listening My Favorite Murder, please create a scenario for me. Housewife most likely to be murdered. Who did it? Why? How? And do they get away with it? All speculation, of course."
Oh, okay. I like that. You want me to go first? You want to go first?
You can go first.
Well, I think the housewife most likely to be murdered would be Lisa Vanderpump. Because, as everyone on these shows likes to say, they're just jealous. I think that she would be the most likely to be killed because she starts the most shit silently and everybody wants to be the queen bee but can't quite get there. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's like the richest.
I think it would be very Murder on the Orient Express. Like in the everyone played a role in it. There's like, you know, funny, there were 12 different stabs. Turns out it's from all the previous housewives and all the current housewives.
Yes. It's like all the people that teamed up with her but eventually got fired. Like,
yeah,
Brandy would probably be the first stab, but then mm-hmm. she still didn't die. So then, you know, Carlton would come in. Well, I guess Carlton didn't team up with her, but Joyce would come in and be like, "Oh, I'm pretending to be your friend, but just so I could stab you again." And she'd stab her with like one of those mechanical pencils, you know?
Right. And somewhere there's like a bowl of chicken salad that has a knife in it because Kim got confused.
I thought it was Lisa.
But the twist at the end would be that Lisa would show up at her own funeral and they all just killed Rocio in a wig.
But then Lisa actually dies at her own funeral because Pinky, you know, dropped some poison in one of her teas or something because he didn't like that Hanky was always getting the attention, you know?
Yeah. I can imagine also Luann getting knocked off. I can imagine it happening in a flamboyant way. Like she's up on stage at the Blue Note and she's singing a song. She's like, "All right, give me a G minor. All right, three, two, one. Would you believe I got married? Oh no. Would you believe it? I got poisoned. I can't believe it. I've been poisoned. Father Bethany Frankel." And she just flops down on the piano and dies. The
Yo.
Countess, she's dead.
That would be terrible, but I would be proud of her for singing at the Blue Note. I mean, that's huge. I mean, that's definitely a step up from Rockin' Sushi or wherever else she was singing
I think it was
before.
like Samba sushi. It wasn't even rockin'. It wasn't even as mainstream of a genre as rock and roll.
Like
It
sushi
was
tunes.
Brazilian. I have a big gig tonight at Hale and Hardy.
Got a huge gig tonight at Argentine Sushi Times.
You wouldn't believe this, ladies, but I'm gonna be opening over at Au Bon Pan.
What else is in there, man?
Mick Resendez, Resende, says, "Hey guys, Happy New Year. I decided to drown my ending days of 2016 in all things Bravo and HGTV, which, after a week, you start to blur the shows. One of my blurred lines would be Christina of HGTV's Flip or Flop becoming the new Real Housewife of OC, newly divorced, semi-famous, and in real estate. Wow. The other, Cynthia Bailey, newly divorced, leaves ATL behind to rekindle her romance with Leon and make Noelle the Black Gigi and becomes a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills. I'd love to know your thoughts and if you have any crossover ideas from any shows. I'm certain a version of this question has been asked, but I think it's an interesting topic. Love you guys." So Christina is she's the one who was married to Tarek, right?
Tarek. Wait, which
And
show?
they had like a, on Flip or Flop.
Oh gosh. I don't remember his name.
I think is they're from Orange County. The reason I know this is because I watched a few episodes when I was in Scottsdale in December. But they are like this couple that flips houses, but then they had some domestic issues like
Yeah, they had like a
involving
terrible
guns,
divorce or something.
and now it's canceled. Yeah, she's very much ready to be a Real Housewife of Orange County now. Like, get her in the pipeline, like, cue her up, get her in there. She's ready to mix it up.
Yeah, and I watched that show. I really liked that show. And I think that I enjoyed it because they really did seem to hate each other. And she was, I think they had a baby and she was pregnant with another baby, I think. And she just could not even hide her hatred for him. And he looked like cokey and pluggy. And I don't know, like he looked like he'd like farted. I don't know. He just looked gross all the time. And she was just always seething. And I really liked that about that show. I thought it made it very real.
I could tell that their marriage was doomed when they had a seethingly passive aggressive tile off with two different bathrooms. Like he did one tile with all backsplash, and one, I mean one bathroom with all backsplash, and she did one with like all white tiles. And like, who's gonna like it more? And then I think that she may have won, and I could just tell that he's like, "This bitch, I'm gonna fucking cheat on her now."
Well, I can't believe that he hadn't cheated on her before. I feel like he cheated on her and she knew it, and that's why she was always seething. And then she brought it up a lot, like, "Oh, really? Well, are you gonna go cheat on me again?" And he'd be like, "Oh, you're gonna hold that over my life forever."
I feel like their marriage had a moment where, after 6 months, someone came up to them and said, "Bad news. We've been doing inspections on your marriage. Turns out it's not up to code, and we're gonna have to tear it all down.
Yeah, she's like,
This
"You know what?
foundation
Yeah,
is
I knew this
cracked."
foundation was cracked. There's mold in the walls. I knew this was coming."
Yeah. Turns out this wiring is from 1932. It's gonna go up in flames any second.
The roof has holes in it. And she's like, "I know. Some holes you just can't plug. Am I right, Tarek?"
Sharon asks or says, "It's Freaky Friday, and Ben and Ronnie have switched bodies with the Bravo celebrity of their choice. Excepting Lisa Vanderpump, since who wouldn't want to live with Hanky and Panky, who are you switching bodies with, and what do they say when they wake up as you? Love you guys."
Oh my God. This is really rough because I don't know who I hate enough to make wake up in my body. like that's, yeah. If I could just steal someone else's, that's one question. But if I have to make someone wake up with mine, I mean, people will just try and figure out what their stretch marks are spelling for the first 2 hours of the damn day.
Well, I think, you know, obviously I'm tempted to always say Ramona or Luann because those are like my go-tos. But I think maybe I might want to wake up as Lisa Rinna. If only to have Lisa Rinna wake up as me, because I was recently watching her Instagram story and she was walking around on her lawn. She's like, okay, guys. All right. We're on the lawn and look, it's a palm frond. There's a palm frond on the lawn. And that's like the next story. There is a palm frond. Okay. Let's walk over here. There's the view. There's Catalina Island. There's Catalina Island. Oh, the palm frond is still there. All right. We're going to pick up the palm frond. It was literally like 3 minutes of analyzing the palm frond, and I was there the entire time. So I'm just imagining her waking up and being like, oh my God, this is crazy. I'm in a one-bedroom apartment in Hollywood. All right, I got to put this on Insta. Okay. All right. Here's a bookcase. It's a bookcase, everyone. It's a bookcase from IKEA. You're seeing it here first, IKEA.
I think I would switch with Tom Sandoval because I would love to know what it's like to be a lesbian with a penis for one day. Hey, I mean, also he has such pretty hair, such pretty skin. I think Ariana's really cool, so I'd like to hang out with her. And then I'd like him to wake up as me and be like, whoa, oh my God, what happened to me? How did I turn into Sheena's husband? He'd be calling Sheena like, Sheena, girl, help me. She's like, he's fast. I would just like confusing the hell out of everyone when Tom shows up as me.
Yeah, I think, you know, an argument could be made for waking up as Patricia from Southern Charm, because you could just like lie around in a caftan all day and be served martinis while she wakes up here. And it's like, I can't believe all the dust on these bookshelves right here. Somebody help me right now. Where are the flamingos?
Yeah, I could be someone from Southern Charm. I would probably be the young, hot, dumb one. What's his name?
Craig.
Yeah, I'd be Craig because also he kind of talks like Tom. So it wouldn't be too awkward of a voice change for me. And I feel like that would be the nicest person to wake up as me, because he'd wake up and he'd be like, I feel fat today, so I'm going to just sleep. And he would never like go outside and ruin my life. He would just sleep all day.
That's what I think. I feel like if I swapped with Shep, I would wake up and my life would be more or less the same, except paid for. And then he would wake up, he'd be like, gosh, this isn't my life. Okay. All right. Happy hour. And we'd both like adapt pretty easily.
Gosh. He's like making out with Settlers of Catan.
Gosh, what's up with these board games? All right. Who wants wheat? I need a sheep. Gosh, Craig, you're so stupid. Why don't you ever trade away your sheep, Craig? You're so stupid.
I just wish I could trade with somebody from a different channel, you know? I just don't – I feel like as a guy, one of the reasons you would ever want to body switch with somebody, and it's like such a guy answer. They're like, oh, yeah, I want to switch with a girl so I could just feel my boobs all day. But, yeah, I mean, if you're going to get to switch with somebody, you want to, like, switch to somebody with a giant one, you know, who's, like, hot and thin and rich and has a giant wiener and is gorgeous. And I just can't think of anybody like that on Bravo.
Maybe Kelly from Below Deck. Not rich, but he gets to be on a yacht.
He is hot, but he has a girlfriend, which would be kind of
awkward.
And
he has to work.
Yeah,
and he has like, to work. You're like switching into manual labor.
Yeah, he cleans things. No thanks.
Yeah, maybe I would, you know what, I probably would do like a body switch with like Michael, the florist from the Hamptons, who always goes over to Ina Garten's house. That would be a perfect switch. It'd be a great trade-off because he would get to be young again, and he could gallivant in West Hollywood. And I get to hang out with Ina Gardens. That's probably best of both worlds.
I would just be Jeffrey. I mean, what kind of hard life is that? He sits in the home office all day and stares at a giant Windows laptop. I mean, I'd have to learn to use Windows again. But otherwise, sounds good to me.
He goes walking down the Starbucks as you, and he goes, this is the best venti iced coffee I've ever had. Oh, Ronnie, you say that every time.
I really mean it. Okay, now go away so I can finish working on this laptop.
Like, Ronnie is so agreeable now. And he keeps writing papers about energy policy.
All right, let's close up that bag,
let's
Ben.
Let's close up the bag.
Guys, episode number 2 of Summer House. Super white people being upset about stuff on the weekends. Summer House.
Summer House. Well, guess what? It's July 4th weekend still in the Summer House, and everyone's there having a great time, and it's Sunday morning, and everyone's in bed, and Ashley, who is one of the twins, is grilling Lauren, who is the single twin, and she's like, "What'd you do? What'd you do?" She's like, "Nothing. What'd you do with Carl? Nothing.
I didn't do anything with him. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. I swear you did. No, I didn't. I swear I did. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Uh-uh. Yes, you did. Uh-huh. No, I didn't.
Let's clean something." Meanwhile, so while the twins actually do start to clean things, like, we're so OCD, let's clean. The bros then go, Kyle and Carl go jogging.
Oh, I'm so sorry to do this right at the beginning of the recap, but I already have to interrupt because I wasn't looking this far down in my notes because, of course, there were 20 pages on the previously.
I knew.
Okay, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But the first scene is Carl waking up with the twin, and she's like, "How good do I look right now?" And he goes, "On a scale of 1 to babe, I'd say 10,000.
Oh, my God, I missed that. Oh, my God, thank God I missed that. On a scale of 1 to babe, 10,000?
I mean, that is some 80s in the El Paso Country Club humor right there. That Carl, is that is slick, Carl. That is real
Carl,
slick.
I don't know whether to praise you right now or to tell you to just leave social media and leave all of this behind and go off to a simple life in Paraguay. Like, I just can't. I don't know what to do. I don't know if this is the most amazing thing I've seen or the worst. But on a scale of 1 to babe, I rank it a negative 12.
Yeah, I love that we get to hear so many 80s douchey things on this show because I was young in the 80s. I didn't get to hang around all the douchebags. I only got to see them in the 80s movies with their feathered hair and their tennis sweaters and like rolled up mom jeans and stuff, you know? So it's nice to be on the outside still as a 40-year-old man. Oh,
yeah,
hugs.
The 80s are definitely back with the show, and especially when we get to the bro fight later in the episode, it's super 80s.
Yeah.
But for right now, Kyle and Carl are just jogging on the street, and Carl's like, "Dude, I'm hurting a little bit from last night." And Kyle's like, "Dude, you can't be hooked up with a girl in the house." He's like, "Dude, I know. Dude, there's so much like talent outside there in Montauk. Dude, I know.
First rule of Summer House is no couples in Summer House.
Second rule of Summer House, never use a definite article. Goodbye, the."
Like, everything's a saying, like, whatever happens at Summer House stays in Summer House.
Except for my fabric softener, because we need to use that to clean up the city also. Twins are still scrubbing things down.
Summer House! It's like Affleck. Just like any saying.
Wow, this place is fantastic. No, literally, I need the fantastic.
1 billion Summer Houses served.
They're just like human Roombas. You just start them and they're just like, the girls just like scrub it. Like, just wiping down they're either wiping down counters or making hors d'oeuvres. Making dips. So meanwhile, Everett and Lindsay are working out together at the East Hampton gym. And Lindsay's like, "Yeah, so like before I started dating Everett, like I called a psychic who said that there was like a tall, thin guy in my universe." And I'm like, "All right." I'm like, "Tall, thin guy. Wow, that really, you know, narrows it down there, Lindsay."
There's a part of me that feels like I'm very intuitive.
You can't say there's a part of me that feels like I'm kind of intuitive, because that is inherently an intuition.
Then she's talking. Who's she talking to? The girls? Oh no, she's talking.
Well, she's just
to Everett.
To us.
She's talking to Everett next, and she goes, "I want to know what you guys talked about at brunch yesterday." And he's like, "What else do dudes talk about? Chicks, okay?" And Carl was
That's
talking.
So funny. My psychic said that you guys totally talked about things. So, like, wow, 2 for 2 for her. Wow.
"Wait, did you eat eggs at brunch?" And he's like, "Yes." She's like, "Oh my God.
Oh my
God.
My
psychic told me he's a skinny guy who liked eggs."
Wait a second. "You have Rosé also? Yeah? oh my God, my psychic said that you're going to date a guy who's like tall in your universe, who eats eggs and likes wine. It's like, wow. I'm intuition is like, it's like, oh my God, call Jewel because I've got intuition too.
So he's telling her all the gossip and he's like, yeah, well, Carl, you know, he was with a girl before. And she's like, oh my God, she had a private plane? What happened to that girl? Why isn't he with that girl? And he's like, because they couldn't sleep in a box together. And he wants someone he can sleep in a box with. Like, I could sleep in a box with you. And she's like,
She's like, oh, me too. Basically, she was like, don't you dare motherfucking make me sleep in a box, Everett. Okay? She's especially like, if you're texting other girls.
Yeah. Carl isn't here trying to make my man think it's okay not to have a job. Hmm?
Yeah.
So Lauren then, and Christina.
Wait. So... Everett then, he brings up this rumor that he's gone ring shopping. He's like, you know what's crazy? Like, there's a rumor going around that I'm, like, ring shopping. And she's like, you're ring shopping? And he's like, shut up. I mean, unless you want one. Like, if you want one, I'm going to ring shopping. But, like, I mean, like, I'm like, I don't need a ring. But, like, do you want a ring? Because I could get a ring. But, like, do you want one? But, like, it's too fast, right? But we can go slower. But we can go faster. What do you think?
I just wish my Mima was here to, like, have a mini heart attack watching this with me, because she goes, I mean, there's this dab before getting engaged, and that's getting pregnant. she's like, there's this dab before getting engaged, and that's moving in together, so are we moving in together? And I could just imagine my meemaw losing her shit. Like, when did that become the next step? What happened to talking to the parents, asking for her hand in marriage, getting married, founding a business? Then getting pregnant, having everything you want. I mean, when did the steps change?
I just like that they were discussing moving in while they were doing planks. Listen, I know this is like an important step for us, but it's also important for us to get our core in shape. So then you want to do yoga?
Do you want to do yoga? I do. I like to stretch. Me too. Is it clean? Floor clean? Let's clean the floor. I'm going to do yoga.
So the twins do yoga, and the cameramen hate them because it's basically just their cornholes. I mean, it's them putting their ankles behind their head with the camera in their butts.
The cameramen also hate poor Steven, the house gay, because every time the screen splits into sixes, which is like their transitional thing, there's always a shot of Steven walking around like, oh my God, I am in hell. I am in hell. I am in hell.
Yeah, he doesn't look very happy, this guy. I have a feeling this is not a season two cast member. He's like, you guys suck. So the twins are talking about their lives, and married twin is like, yeah, like, I know it seems weird that, like, I'm the twin with a husband, but I'm, like, still here and I'm married, but, like, I am going to see him at the end of October because we're moving to California, and it's, like, crazy because, like, we're originally from San Diego, and the other one's like, yeah, and then we went to UC Davis, and the other one's like, yeah, we do everything, yeah, like, we even take showers together. She's like, yeah, but, like we don't lather each other up, but, like, there's two shower heads. Yeah, it's, like, two heads in a shower. It's, like, two heads in one. Yeah, like us, except for two. Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant.
Yeah, and we both like to towel off at the same time. It's like, it's fun. Like she has a towel and I have a towel. Yeah, it's like two towels. Like towel twins. Yeah. And then we get like the most generic music yet, transitional music. You know, because we've been talking a lot about Bravo's stock music that they've been playing.
Oh, yes,
a lot of
obsessed.
Their shows. This time, the music was more generic than anything we've ever heard. It was just like a beat and some synthesizers and a woman singing at like a low volume. Like, you could tell they did not have confidence in this, but like, well, we did pay her to sing, so let's just put her vocals on really low. And you just hear her going, you know. That was it.
You know. Is that enough? Okay, cut.
Great. We'll just give that one to Summer House. So Lindsay,
Kyle, and Christina in the kitchen. I'm trying to think of who all these people are. Which one's Kyle? Kyle, the blonde one. Yeah, so the blonde one.
Lindsay is telling Kyle about she was working out with Everett. I just wrote down that she was telling Kyle about working out with Everett. And Christina is just sitting there shooting hate eyes. Because that's what Christina does most of the time. She sits there, eats like a carrot stick, and just shoots the most angry eyes.
I love bitter Christina. She's sitting there like, ugh. Like, she's giving this... her eyes open, like she's got squinty kind of eyes, but they open really big. She's like, ugh, hate you. And she's also like sitting there eating a huge piece of cake or something for breakfast. What was that? It was like a huge piece of something. And she's like, ugh, gross. Kyle's like, you guys work out? You'd like the couple at the gym? Gross. I mean, as long as you're not like, spot me, honey. And then it just kept cutting to Christina like, gross, eating cake.
Christina's like, no one invited me to the gym.
It would have been nice as your roommate to know that you were going to the gym.
I mean, it's like embarrassing to me to not even know that my roommate's going to the gym.
Like, I left a sticky on the mirror saying, I'll be downstairs eating cake. I mean, did you even see that sticky? Do you even care? Like, should I even bother checking in anymore? Who are you? Who are you?
Christina is far and away my favorite character on this. Like, far and away. So now Kyle is talking about Amanda. Amanda is his ex, and how he started hooking up with her in the last episode. And again, Christina is just sitting there shooting daggers through her eyes. Like, who is this girl? I can't believe no one told me about.
Kyle's like Peter Pan, but he's like always drunk. I'm like, well, what do you think Peter Pan was? I mean, he literally thought he was 13 forever. That is a drunk person, stupid. But I like what she was saying. Like this thing with Amanda, I mean, you really need to appreciate what you have because she's a good thing. So be nice to Amanda because one day Amanda's not going to be here. I'm just like, yeah, he knows. That's why he kicked her out.
Yeah. So then they all go out and Kyle's like, yeah, Montauk is like Disney World for adults. You never know where you'll wind up or wake up. I'm like, that's not what happens at Disney World. Is it? You never know what monorail you'll wind up on. Am I right?
You never know which Matterhorn you're going to fuck.
It's like you go to Epcot Center and you're like, what country am I in? Am I right? Montauk.
You can be Montauk's in a boat like, 1 second, and the next second, bombs are going off right in front of you. The Pirates of the Caribbean. Kyle's
Oh, it was rough, man.
I can't tell you how many times I've tried to crawl into a golf ball at Montauk.
It's like being in Disneyland. You can fuck Cinderella one time and tell her to go home, but she's still there wandering around the park the next day. Trying to get in pictures with people.
Every time I reach for a teacup, I wind up barfing.
Okay, so
Carl and Lauren are hooking up again at night, and then Carl's gloating about it. He's like, well, yeah, I don't want to say it's a pattern, but it's a pattern. Great, Carl.
I like that they're like, okay, we're going out. And they show everybody like, dun, 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 going out, going out, going out. And it's like after they went out.
Yeah.
No one will let them film, basically, in this town.
Yeah, no one. That's why they all, it's like, yeah, they're basically filming everything on their cell phones.
Yeah, so they show the, they get home and they show everybody like getting ready to fuck and everyone's having fun and wasted. And then in the cameras, you see poor Christina alone in her room with a full set of flannel PJs. And I was like, I know that that big ass piece of cake is somewhere on that bed.
No one told me it'd be going out. It's how embarrassing for me. No one told me that my roommates were going out. So then it's July 4th and the twins are cooking again. They're like, do you think we'll have enough? We're going to be cooking forever. Like, should we slice this English cucumber now? Like, are we going to have a salad too? What about guacamole? What about a salsa too? Should we have a corn dip?
We're going to have like hummus, pita bread, chips, salsa, guacamole. Salt, pepper, water, ice for the water, beer, beer.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Bye.
You two need to be separated.
Yeah. So then while they're doing that, now Christina really starts to come into her prime. All these people come over to the picnic, and Christina finds out from the twins that Lindsay is considering moving in with Everett. And Christina is really mad because, like, I can't believe that, like, she didn't tell me. Like, I'm her roommate. How could she not tell me that she's moving in? So
she goes, why would they want to move in together? I mean, they're always fighting and saying awful mean things to each other. So, like, why would you move in? I'm like, that's kind of your relationship with Lindsay, too. So
yeah, exactly. And they also show a glimpse into Christina and Lindsay's daily life back in New York. Because she's like, well, you know, Lindsay and I are roommates. And they cut to them and you see what I'm going. You think this maxi dress is cute? Yeah, it's cute. And it comes back. That's literally all that app, all you see.
Then we get the gay and the Alabama. Wait. Oh, no, the gay talks about being from Alabama. And Kyle's wearing this big bullet, you know. And so he starts asking questions. Now, I love when cute guys with like blow-dried, feathered, highlighted hair and like possibly fake bleach teeth, but they're still really cute and stuff. I like when they start asking gay questions, like they ain't sucked a few dicks. I mean, this guy is at least a truck stop dick sucker. I mean, this guy's at least had one dick up him. Come on now. Look at him. Look at him.
I don't know. I don't know if he. I don't know if he.
Nah, that guy's had some drunken dick. I'm calling it
now. God bless him if he has.
So he's like, "What's it like to be gay, bro?" I'm like, "I'm sure." You mean like, are you asking about sweater choosing? Because I know you know what it's like to have a couple of fingers up in you.
Yeah, and Steven's like, "Well, yeah, you know, I was raised in Alabama with a really religious family, and they thought I'd just stay there forever, but I got gay, so I went up to New York, and now that's where I live now, and I'm never turning back, and I said I would never be around douchey straight people ever again, but then Bravo called, and well, here we are."
I'm the only gay to be on the straightest show on Bravo, so thanks. I like what he said. Everyone from home didn't think that I was going to, like, stay out here. They just thought I would be moving right back, but... Hi, Alabama. Still waving at you.
I like to buy my fireworks at Market Price.
So Christina has gone to every single person in the house. Like, well, did you know they were moving in? Did you know they were moving in? Did you know they were moving in?
This is amazing because everyone's coming over. Amanda has come over and Kyle's like, yeah, I like her because she's like 9 years younger than me and she's not really waiting for a ring like some 30-year-old chick. I'm like, if you think a 25-year-old girl is not waiting for a ring, you are sorely mistaken, sir. And then he was like, yeah, you know, the best part about my relationship with Amanda was that it was conflict free. I'm like, yes. So thank God you left that. That's terrible. So
Christina's awful.
So Christina's telling everyone, like probably the producers too. Well, so what do you guys think about Everett and Lindsay moving in? That seems pretty hasty, right? Like, what do you think about that? Like, what do you guys think? Isn't it crazy that they're like moving in? Like, isn't it weird? They didn't even tell me. I'm like the last one to know. I mean, how embarrassing for me. Am I right?
It's like ding dong. Someone ordered Chinese food, but it wasn't me. But I guess I'm going to be forced to sit here and eat Chinese food anyway. Would have been nice if someone told me.
So at this point, we go inside, and you know what you were just saying about Kyle and blowjobs?
Yeah.
I'm starting to rethink it now, because the next thing we hear is, I call dibs on the BBC. Now, for people who are outside the gay community, you may not realize this, but BBC has a totally different meaning than Bailey's Banana and Cream, okay? It means Big Black Cock.
So I watched a little of Watch What Happens Live, just because I kept the TV running while I was checking my cookies. Okay. And, Ariana and Tom were on there, and Kyle was the hot bartender guy, and he made, I guess someone made them all BBCs, and so Andy was like, hey, what does that mean? What is the BBC? And he's like, Bailey's, you know, whatever, I don't even know. You'll have to ask the bartender. Like, I don't even know what it means. And Tom goes, yeah, I think it's like cream. I think the C stands for cream, yeah, because he's like a pro. And Ariana goes, Big Black Cock.
Yes. Duh. It stands for Big Black Cock. If you ever go onto Grindr and someone says, you got a big BBC or I got a BBC, it means Big Black Cock. It does not mean British Broadcast Company. It does not mean Bailey's Man Cream. When you say, oh my God, I got dibs on the BBC, it means you got dibs on the Big Black Cock.
Although a really pretty guy is saying, I got dibs on the BBC, even if they were talking about the BBC. I mean, I don't know which makes them gayer, like running to Downton or running towards a big black cock. And I don't care because, look, when a gay person says it, it's not a criticism like, ew, you're gay, dude, bro. It's more like, yay. Yeah.
I mean, it was very hot. And by the way, it wasn't just the guys, because Lindsay was like, guys, I need another BBC. I mean, it was like an entire episode of like every 5 minutes. Was, you know what we need right now? BBC.
So we get to meet a new castmate who is Katie. And she's okay. Do you know Mad TV? You used to watch Mad TV,
right? I've seen it. Yeah.
Do you remember?
I know which one you're talking about. I know what you're going to say. A lady with a cigarette, right?
Yes, she had Cabana Boy. She's like, oh, Cabana Boy. Like, yeah. Cabana Boy would come out and dance.
Yeah.
This is her. She's amazing. She's got skin. It's not even spray tan skin. It looks like actual sun skin, which is weird. Like, I imagine her going to tan it like a pizza oven or something to, like, get the real effect.
It's like,
I mean, she is brown.
She's like a freshly made pudding.
Of leather, made of leather. Leather pudding. She's kind of leathery. And she's like, she's like super excited.
I guarantee the Summer House kids will no longer be retweeting us now.
Well, what are you going to do? So Katie is the new roommate. So she sits down with her roommates, Lindsay and Christine. And she's not a new roommate in the house. She's the city
roommate.
The first
time we've seen her. Yeah, she's the third roommate.
Christina. And so she's like, how's everything going? And they're like, Lindsay's like, yeah, it's been really fun. We're having a really good time. And she goes, you're here so much, you might as well move in. And Christina goes, speaking of moving in, so I hear you're moving in together with Everett. And she's like, we've been talking about it.
It's like a top line discussion. And like, it's something we've talked about. And like, you know, our lease is up in February and we're going to move in February. Like, well, actually, at least up in May. And that's like a pretty big gap. And they don't have maxi dresses at Gap anymore.
And then Christina gives her the, so you haven't talked to your roommates? And I mean, you're telling everybody else, like, you're basically telling everybody else behind our back. So you know what? It would be nice if you stopped talking behind our backs and tell us first. And she's like, maybe I should. Wait, what'd she say? Oh, she goes, maybe I was wanting to wait because I knew that your reaction was going to be completely off the wall and I need Katie here. And she's like, look, I was really in a bad relationship and it was like really hard for me to find somebody. And Katie's like, so glad to hear that.
She's like, that is amazing.
Good for you.
And Christina goes, yeah, that's exciting.
That's great. Happy Independence Day to me, who's always independent. Yay me.
Who needs a BBC? So
when you've got the BBC. Right, ladies?
So we also found out that Kyle had been making out with Katie the night before. So two nights ago, he made out with Amanda and had sex with Amanda. Last night, he made out with Katie. And now they're both at this party. And things are really awkward, bro. Time to double down on the BBCs, if you know what I'm talking about, right? Want them. Let's just get two BBCs right in my mouth, okay? I just want them just like BBCs. I want them going right down my throat. I just like, I don't even want to talk.
He's
just
like, guys, I feel like BBC. Such a pig right now. Just put me on a spit roast.
I just need some double penetration with that BBC right now. So then all of a sudden the barbecue winds down. The twins are like, bye, going to the city. And then it's the middle of the night. So the twins go, but everyone else is going to hang out. And they're like, yeah, let's go out tonight. And it's like 5 hours later. And yeah. Everett and Lindsay are now drunk and bickering.
Oh, my God, these two. Wait, where am I?
So.
Oh, okay. They're bickering. Did you skip over some stuff? Kitchen, Amanda and Katie both talking to Kyle. Kyle, I don't know why I keep getting myself. Okay, he said that. Gang, Kyle, does she know? Gay, she can make out with whoever she wants to, just like you can get blowjobs from anyone and it wouldn't mean anything, right, Kyle? Right, Kyle? I think the gay guy likes Kyle. What do you think?
Maybe. I mean, why not? I mean, Kyle's hot.
He looks around, he looks at him a lot, and he watches him when he's making out with people, and then he gets kind of mad.
Yeah,
like,
that's
he
true.
Looks like kind of mad. He's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Make out with whoever you want. Like, for example, right now, like, I mean, if the lights were off, like, who would know the difference? Am I right? I mean, I'm just saying, because you're just a guy, right? So party ends, people start leaving, and it's still sunlight out, which is funny. And the twins are like, oh my God, we gotta go. Ah, so busy. Ah, we gotta drive back to work. This is crazy. Like, we have to think about all the bad decisions we made. What didn't we clean? We could have cleaned more. We could have done more. I know. I think so, too. So they're out of there. So now, yeah, Kyle, Carl, Everett, Lindsay. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Dun, dun,
so
dun,
now,
dun dun
dun, 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 they're drunk, and we're seeing the more awful side of Everett and Lindsay. And basically, a girl texted Everett, and like, why is a girl texting Everett?
Yeah, but in her defense, because I know it came off like she's just some crazy bitch, but
yeah.
In her defense, if she's like, I saw you texting this girl or whatever, who was that? And he's like, whatever, who cares? No.
The problem is that his response seems to be either, who cares, or shut up.
Yeah.
Which is really not helpful.
Yeah. I mean, maybe she's insecure, okay, but your response is not helping.
You think I'm insecure?
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't be together.
Like, my psychic did not say there was any security in my future, so...
Yeah, she's like, I don't care if that girl's 700 pounds. She could have, like, ass hair coming down to her knees, okay? But, like, if I ask you who her girl is, you fucking tell me?
Shut up!
Yeah, and then the guys are all pissed in the kitchen. Kyle and the gay. They're like, this is so gross having to listen to this fight. I know. Let's make out.
Let's make out.
No, no, dude. No, bro. Still not drunk enough, okay?
So, BBC's...
Also, at one point, Carl said... Yeah, some people are leaving, but my personal opinion is namaste right here. It's like, oh God, you're just full
Carl.
Of them. You're just full of them, Carl.
So speaking of Carl, the weekend is over, and now it's time to go into the city. And it's this big montage of Carl working in the city, Carl selling dental stuff. And he's, like, walking down sidewalks in different outfits. Like, okay, so, like, you need the toothbrush? Okay, great. All right, we're going to sell you 45 of them. All right, great, great, good, great doing business. All right. You need Novocaine? Okay, go. I'll sell them to your office. Okay, well, let's do a deal for, like, $45. Okay, great.
And then they show the twins. The twins are shopping. That's just cute. That's, like, so cute. Yeah, it's cute. Yeah, it's cute. Yeah, it's cute. It's really cute. It's cute.
Those were actually my notes. My notes were, this is really cute. This is really cute. This is really cute. We have a fashion blog, and, like, the blog's really cute, so we have to work cute. And, like, we didn't always look cute, but we always dress cute. So, like, we know what cute is. So we're, like, cute.
Like, yeah. We may not be the cutest girls, but you got to work with what you're given because, like, it's cute. And that's, like, what cute things do. Yeah? Like, yeah. We're cute. Cute, cute, cute. And
hang
then...
on. When you're going after Carl, like, be, like, play, like, hard to get and just be, like, cute. Just be cute.
So over at the girls' apartment, someone ordered Chinese food and they're trying to figure out how to say gyoza, which
is adorable. I always thought it was gyoza. And, like, the fact that you, as my roommate, never corrected me before is, like, really embarrassing. I like, by
that's
the way,
why Asian men hate me, so thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for even shortening my dating pool even more, okay? Thanks a lot. Because as my roommate, you should have told me these are not called Gaias, okay? I look like a fucking idiot. Thanks a lot. So Katie's like, to be honest, I didn't know, like, Amanda and that guy, like, had made out. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made out. And, I mean, I know I'm not the only other person in this house to, like, make out with Kyle. Am I right, Christina? And Christina's
guilty,
like,
as charged.
Guilty.
It was like making out with a gay guy. You know, didn't really matter. And he was gay.
Like, I mean, how many girls, like, wear flannel pajamas to the club? You know? And, like, irresistible. He jumped me. Like, he's one of those dudes, you know, you can wake up the next day and just pretend like nothing happened, which he totally did with me, which is totally fine. Like, I don't care.
So then Christina is confronting Lindsay about her constant fighting with Everett. And Lindsay's like, well, sorry, that's just like what you do when you start a relationship. You just fight nonstop. That's what they call it, the honeymoon phase, because you fight on honeymoons, right? not quite.
No. No, none of that is correct.
Yeah, you don't fight in your first few months. No.
Christina's like, well, everybody's saying that, like, they're always seeing you guys fight, and it's, like, really awkward because you're always in, like, big fights. And she's like, yeah, we're doing it on purpose. It's called romance. No.
I just wish you would have told me about the fight, but I didn't have to hear about the fight. Well, no, that's all.
So the Carl and the twin go on a day date. She's like, is this an official date right now, Carl? And he's like, I don't know. Do you want it to be? Like, I don't know. Like, is it official, Carl? And she said, okay. Carl, I so think 50 times in this scene. They ended up in a yogurt shop. She's like, do you like yogurt, you know, Carl? I love yogurt, Carl. Do they have Carl flavor? Carl is such a good flavor, Carl. Hey, Carl, well, do you like yogurt?
Don't forget that last week she said one of the reasons why he was so attractive is that his name is Carl. 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 And by the way, they were like animals in that yogurt shop. Okay. They were like, that yogurt was coming out of that spigot. Toppings were falling everywhere. It's like, had they ever been in a yogurt shop before? It's not cute.
Hey, Carl. So, one thing I love about you, Carl, is that you have great Carl.
Yeah, I like that Lauren called Carl dreamy, and then he smiled, and when he smiled, his teeth were just totally yellow and stained from cigarettes. And I was like, that is insulting, especially if you're selling dental equipment. How complicated. He sells dental equipment, but refuses to use it.
And then he tells us his story. He's like, yeah, well, I don't really like it when people say I'm tall and handsome because, look, I didn't always look like this.
I didn't wake up like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Like, maybe she's born with it. Maybe she wasn't. Maybe she had to work really hard for it. Did you ever think of that?
Don't hate me because I've been on a beautiful journey.
It made me laugh because I was just saying about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills for whatever reason. When you're fatter, you have to connect in a different way. And he said that. He's like, I was chubby. And, you know, like, when you're chubby, you actually have to make an effort with your personality to connect with people, you know? So, like, you can't just... I don't have to just rely on my gorgeousness. Now I can also connect with people and be gorgeous. You know what I mean?
On a scale of 1 to charming, I rate myself a 500,000.
And then if I rate myself on a scale of 1 to fantastic, I would rate myself 5 extra toppings.
And Lauren's like, you. I love fantastic. Is there a messy counter? We can clean this up. Half the reason why I spilled the toppings was so I can clean it up afterwards. What a thrill.
Carl, hand me a sponge, Carl.
Is there a bucket? I love a bucket. Lauren is head over heels. She's already planning her future with Carl. She's already thinking about, well, you know, Carl's going to get along so well with Ashley's husband. Like, we can just be like a foursome. It'll be great.
Brad.
Like, his name's Brad. His name's Carl. Like, 4 letters. I mean, come on.
Totally crazy. Like, I've been looking for a Brad, and, like, he's really lining up to be my Brad because they both have jobs. They're 6 feet tall. Like, I mean, he's just like Brad. Like, they're the same. Like, they're literally the same person, which is, like, literally. Totally exciting. Carl, Brad.
It's weird.
Brad,
because,
Carl.
Like,
Brad. Carl, like, Carl's
Brad. The first letter in his name is C, and the first letter in Brad's name is B, and that's, like, right next to each other, and then they both have R's, and they both have an A, and then, like, L sort of looks like a D, so it's, like, a D without, like, a little bit less weight on it, so it's, like, they're basically, like, the same person. And then, Carl,
they're basically a B and a C out of a BBC. All we need is one more. Just one more.
And then, Carl, I guess Carl's going to a wedding or something. She's like, you have a date? He's like, no, I'm not going to bring a date because, like, you know, my parents are really annoying and they ask us a lot of questions. And, like, also, I'm banging a chick back in Pittsburgh, so, like, I'll probably bring her instead.
Yeah, still like, banging a fat okay. chick.
He's like, so, need a date?
Need a date? Yep. That's going to be sad. You know what Brad would do? Probably ask me on a date. I mean, if he wasn't married to my sister, which he totally is. And I'm not jealous because I really love him, but, like, he's so good for her. I just wish I had a Brad. You know what I mean, Brad? Carl, Brad.
Can I just call you Brawl?
And he's like, we need a competition to see if I'm a better Brad than Brad. Like, we can see who can change your oil faster or who could change the tires faster. And she's just, like, sitting there waiting for him to say, like...
Yeah, like, see, you can clean counters faster. Oh, I can. Beat you both.
I already cleaned the counter. Like, remember how messy it was when I spilled my yogurt everywhere? I already cleaned it and behind the counter. Like, literally, I could just stay in this yogurt shop all day and clean over and over and over again. It'd be great.
So, then
back at the house, and now yeah. Ashley is FaceTiming with the famous Brad. And Lauren comes in because she's like, oh, Brad, you gotta say hi to Lauren. You gotta say hi to Lauren. So Lauren comes in. Lauren, you gotta say hi to Brad. So Lauren comes in. She's like, yeah, I just went on a frozen yogurt date. I'm like, oh, yeah. Stage 5 clinger alert. She just elevated it to a date because she was like, is this a date? He's like, no, probably not, but maybe. Yeah, maybe.
It's like, today. Hey, Brad, it's me, Brad. Hi, Brad. Hey, so, Brad, like, if you're going to take someone on a date to a wedding, what would you want them to wear? Like, do you want me to wear, like, something cute? Something cute, right? Yeah, something cute. Yeah, that's what Brad says. Yeah, me too. I agree with Brad. I'd need a Brad. Oh, yeah, you should get a Brad. I think I have a Brad. His name is Carl. Oh, my God. Seriously? You're serious?
You know what I like about these twins is that we can both talk at the same time, and it's a perfect impersonation. That's how cute. Brad, Carl. Carl, Brad, Brad. Hey, Brad, me, Carl. Carl, you have to be Brad. Brad, Carl. Carl, Brad, you. Brad, Carl. Cleaning. Chop. Guacamole.
So they're all talking to Brad on FaceTime, and then Carl comes in, I think shirtless in this one, and he's like, hey. He's like, hey. And they're like, oh, my God, it's Carl. Oh, it's Carl. Brad, it's Carl. Carl, it's Brad. Brad, Brad, Brad. Carl, Carl, Brad, Brad, Brad.
Carl, Brad. Carl, Brad. Brad, Carl. They are just like ducks.
They are hilarious.
Like half like ducks, the most beautiful way.
So Brad, he comes in, he's like, whoa, hey, Brad, I'm Carl. That's Carl. I'm Carl. Yeah, that's what I said. I need to have a Brad competition with you. We could, like, change oil and fix tires. Brad's like,
Have a fro-yo.
And then Carl tells us, he goes, hey, wait, he goes, we're having a measure off, a grill off, a change of tire, and do some push-ups. And he goes, hey, Brad, look, I'm shredded like a julienne salad. And then they all just stop talking and stare at him like, really?
Yeah.
They're like, I mean, that is shredded, technically, but that's a bunch of limp-ass vegetables in a bowl, girl.
Yeah, I mean, that's like saying I'm as flexible as a zoodle.
And then he tells us, yeah, like, I'm hot East Coast, Brad. Oh, dear. So, we're gonna party tonight. Party.
Friday night, drinking, dancing.
Kyle's like, so, gay guy, when did you realize that you loved using margarita machines? Margarita machines. They're obsessed with that fucking margarita machine in that house.
Yeah, they are, like, just brewing up slime every week, which I guess is better than a BBC. By the way, we have to talk about the actual BBC drink. Now, I'm sure it actually looks totally delicious. But if you're getting drunk on July 4th, who wants, like, a big, thick, creamy shake all day long? I mean, maybe, like, maybe here or there, but that's pretty intense.
Is it? Is it, Ben?
I guess not.
Why are you so upset, Ben?
Well, those BBCs, they can do ya. So yeah,
I still don't know what a BBC is. Did we ever find out?
Yeah, it was Bailey's Banana and Cream.
Oh, Bailey's Banana and Cream. Yeah, I think once you've said Big Black Cock, it's just kind of boring at this point. I'm done with it.
So this is great. So they're drunk, and now comes the 80s teen movie fight. So Everett is talking to Ashley in the hot tub about the fight that he'd had with Lindsay. And he's like, yeah, like, you know, like, sometimes if I'm, like, texting a girl, Lindsay, like, totally flips out. Like, you know, I can't even text a girl without her being like, what's going on? And so Lindsay walks in and is like, you know, she's like, well, the problem is that you're, like, disrespectful to me and that, like, you shouldn't be texting girls either, especially ones who are, like, not hot. Like, what are you doing? And so the entire fight just reignites, and Everett's like, you're being ridiculous. And she's like, I'm being ridiculous. If you don't even want my respect, oh, that's a problem. Your perspective is wrong. That's just respectful. And they're just saying disrespectful.
They're just yelling at each other. And it's so obnoxious being around couples like that when they're just like ruining everybody else's time by screaming. You know, it's like, I get that that's your hobby. Go outside. We're at a beach. Like, go yell at each other by the waves or whatever.
So Kyle tries to cut the tension by running in and doing a cannonball into the hot tub. And they're like, Kyle, that is not cool. Yeah. Seriously, bro. Kyle.
And Lindsay's like, that was not cool. We're having a situation. So you can get out of the pool so we can finish our situation, please. And he's like, not in my house.
It's like, I'm trying to have a fun summer here. And like, shut up, Kyle. And Everett just goes over to him and starts splashing him. He's like, get out. Splash, splash, splash. Like, all right.
Yeah, he's like, whatever, cold feet, Kyle. Is that what he called him?
You know, he goes, no, what happens is Kyle's like, I'm serious. Like, enough's enough. And then Everett goes, fuck you. I will drag you through the fucking dirt before you talk to me that way. And Kyle's like, I want a normal summer. And Everett goes, cold feet, cook. Cold feet, cook. You don't even know what a relationship is if it hit you in the fucking face. This is life, dude. This is life. It was amazing.
I love Everett's emotion, like his crazy emotions. Like, last week we got to see him cry. This week he's screaming. I'm loving the all over the placeness of Everett. He's
fully bro. And I love that his insult to Kyle was, cold feet, cook. Ooh.
Yeah, cold feet, cook.
Got him right where it hurts. Got to the core of his personality.
His pirate name.
Cold Feet Cook.
Look out for Cold Feet Cook.
And that brings us to the end of the summer house.
This is life, dude. This is life.
Life, dude. All right, now for some Married to Medicine.
Dun, 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 dun. Going from the sunny shores of Montauk to the sunny shores of Hawaii.
Man, they really made an effort this year with this vacation. I mean, this vacation is so much better than that last one they had.
Yes.
They're like chickens running around or whatever.
Yeah.
This one, and it's just shot really beautifully.
It was. I really noticed that. I mean, first of all, when you're in Hawaii, it's hard not to be shot beautifully, but I noticed the same thing. I was like, this is actually a beautiful episode.
Yeah, it was very, very well done. It was impressive because this show, sometimes it's like, It feels like they're like, here's $5. All right, do whatever you want. Just throw it in the box if we're out of the office, and we'll put it on the air, you know?
Yeah.
And also something I like about this show is the women on this show really do seem to work on themselves, oddly enough. They seem more like real people to me in a way.
I think some do. I think Dr. Jackie and Dr. Simone, I feel like they do. I feel like they're the most relatable. I feel like the other women are more like cartoons.
Well, even Heavenly got teared up this episode. Heavenly cried.
That's yeah, very but rare. To me, I feel like on this show, crying doesn't mean anything because Lisa Nicole cries every 5 minutes.
Well, she's a damn mess. I don't even know what she's still doing on TV.
She is a disaster. But, you know, as per usual with these trips, there's going to be a couples therapy session, which I always find odd that Simone leads it when Dr. Gregory is the only one who's a therapist there. But I think that Simone really set the tone of the show because when she and Cecil were walking around trying to find a place for the couples therapy, she's like, we're going to need some shade. I was like, yes, that's exactly what this episode needs.
It's also kind of funny that that couple leads it and kind of comes off as the perfect couple, but they never really have to do the therapy. It's weird did they do some? I don't remember them going through
any. I mean, because they're also like a really functional couple. Even I think it was last week, the producers tried to show a montage of their troubles when they were fighting. But all those times they were fighting, they were really just fighting about Toya, you know?
Yeah, so that's true.
You know, I mean, Simone and Cecil are great. Cecil is he's the best. I love Cecil. I love their kids. They have a great family. And I also want to say, just coming off of last week's episode, one of the things that we're coming into this week with is something, I'm like a parent or a broken record. I'm always like, I want something real. Like this show, I feel like doesn't give me enough real shit. Now we have some real shit because the stuff going on with Dr. Jackie and her husband, that's like real. You know, he did not show up. He did not come to Hawaii on this couple's trip. And, you know, all season long, they're a little bickering about, are we going to stay in the house? I mean, stay be in suburbia. Are we going to be in the city? I just thought that was just sort of patter, like something for a storyline. But now we see there's some real shit going on in that marriage.
And last week's episode, which we didn't really cover, Jackie showed up alone and was really super sad about it and doesn't lie, you know. And Heavenly made a good point in this episode that, you know, she respects Jackie because she doesn't lie, unlike Lisa Nicole trying to pretend everything's okay. But
because Lisa Nicole also showed up alone.
Yeah. So she showed up alone and Simone was in bed with her. They were talking and Jackie was crying and Simone's a good friend because she doesn't automatically just take your side. She tells you the truth. You know, she's like, well, you do always work. And a lot of the pain you're feeling, instead of feeling it, you're just putting it into work. So it's not necessarily that you just want to work all the time. You're really hurting and you're not using your husband to help you and be in a relationship with you. You're just ignoring it and working too much. And so you're shutting him out. And I was like, wow, that is very, insightful. And that's a really good friend to have.
Yeah. And I can't help also feeling like reading in between the lines of this argument that there's, what's implied with what Curtis is saying pertains to the TV show as well. Like putting too much effort, like you're working at your practice, you're doing a TV show. And like, where do I fit into all this?
You have five damn charities. It's like you have a new charity every week. Like she is always doing something.
I felt like that was the subtext. And he probably was like, you know what? I don't want to go on this trip. Cause it's not really a trip. It's basically an episode for your TV show, and I don't want to be on it. I don't want to air my dirty laundry. I don't want to be around these fools fighting all the time. That's what my suspicion was behind all that.
Yeah, and also the season where she's like, I want to have a baby. And, you know, that's such a typical housewife storyline where they're like, uh-oh, time for a baby. And it's always fake. Mm-hmm. They never really do it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just something that they say to have a storyline. It's like the bottom of the barrel desperate storyline. But she apparently really wanted to. And I think that she was working so hard that she realized, I don't have a family. Like, I have to do this at some point. Now's the time. And when he just gave her an automatic no and never bent at all, I think that she's like, she can never let that go emotionally. Like, she wrecked her.
She probably poured all the feelings from that into her work.
Yeah. So like, she's kind of avoiding him because he wouldn't give her the child. And then,
yeah,
it's but just then, sad. It's so sad.
Yeah. And, you know, why don't we just go through the characters and we'll just stay on Jackie here. And what was interesting was later during the couple's therapy moment when Jackie was sharing. And I honestly, as a viewer, I was really appreciative of her because I felt like she was being vulnerable and she was putting it all out there. She wasn't doing the quad thing, which I feel like is half bullshit all the time. But I felt like she was being extremely raw. And she said, she talked about how she always wanted to have a kid and she never had that chance. And one of the reasons why she also works so hard is because she has all this maternal love to give and there's no one to give it to and there's no unconditional love to come back. And this is how she can do it. And I was like, ugh. I mean, that was like a dagger. I mean, what a heavy sentiment, but also a beautiful sentiment and a sad sentiment. I was really, I was like, I love you, Dr. Jackie. I want to give you a hug.
I know, I do too. And even Heavenly was crying and she's like, oh, yeah. I love Dr. Jackie. I love Jackie. I love her.
Yeah.
Now, that's someone who could be honest. Unlike that dumb bitch, Lisa Nicole. Give me some more Lisa Nicole so I can stop crying.
Yeah. You know what that was a hilarious line. But you know what I also loved about that? Heavenly and Dr. Jackie spent a lot of time with these sort of tongue-in-cheek insults to each other. And if you're not paying attention, you think that they actually hate each other. And it was really, to me, I really liked hearing Heavenly say, I love Dr. Jackie. I was like, I just was like, this is great.
That made me cry. That was the part that I cried in this episode. When Heavenly cried and said she loves Dr. Jackie, I was like, blah, it squirt, was... squirt, squirt,
I know,
squirt.
I was like, daddy. Daddy,
oh God!
Now, but then, just to tie up with Dr. Jackie, then at the end of the episode, it was like another emotional wallop where Simone, Dr. Jackie, Quad, and
all the women who'd lost their dads, basically.
But there was another one:
Mariah, Jackie, Quad. Mariah, yeah. Yeah,
they went and they did like a ceremony in the ocean where they sort of said goodbye to their fathers.
This is one of those trips where Simone speaks in her like preacher voice the entire time. She's like,
yes.
Ladies, I have brought us these lays and I've brought them together with us together because in Hawaii, when a family member dies, you take these to the ocean and you set them free. It's like everything she said in this episode was, ladies,
yeah,
we will have a drink in the lobby.
Yes, it's really true. And there was one moment where Simone and Quad had this really strange interaction on the phone where Simone's like, all right, Quad, I will see you downstairs shortly. And Quad goes, okay, I'll see you shortly. And Simone goes, okay, I'll see you shortly. And so they just kept on saying it back and forth. I'll see you shortly. Absolutely. One thing that you will see me in is shortly. All right, then I will then see you shortly then. Well, what has transpired is something that will happen shortly. We get it.
What is about to transpire is seeing short people with Dr. Simone in the lobby of Transpire.
Yes.
So that father thing was really beautiful. And then Mariah, they send all of hers. And Mariah's like, now, when I put mine in, there was a beautiful yellow fish. And I thought, maybe that's an angel fish. And they start walking up and Jackie goes, my dad would have been a shark. They started laughing.
Quad's like, well, what has transpired is that my father was a merman and he showed up and he took my lei and he took it away. I'm like, Quad, what are you talking about?
Which is where I learned to be a tax lady. It's like, what?
Quad's like, oh wait, are we doing some role playing? Okay, I'll pretend to be King Neptune. All right. Hello. I am King Neptune. What is your issue? Quad, we're not doing role-playing of our father's dead in fish form, are we? Yes, we are.
She's like, Dad, isn't it rich? Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my life would be complete if only I could be part of their world?
Honey? What do you call these things? Oh, Quad, you're hilarious. I love that movie, too. And she's like, no, seriously, what is that? It's a fork. I've always wanted to know. So who else?
Toria is hilarious. I'm loving just completely unleashed Toria. And I don't know that Toria's ever been on a leash, but she seems freer than ever this year for some reason. And I think it's because she's broke, she's completely fucked up, and she doesn't even care. She's like,
well, you know, so sometimes you lose money. That's just how you do. So whatever.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because one of the first thing that happened in this couples therapy thing was sort of a reference to the old days of starting over with the Yanla Van Zandt. Simone had the couples build sandcastles together, which is not a therapeutic exercise at all, but still fun. And as Ujin and Toya were making their sandcastle, I wrote down, I don't know what's going to be in their sandcastle, but I'm sure it'll have sidewalks. And then sure enough, like 2 minutes later, Ujin is like, Toya, you stepped on the sidewalk.
No, she said that to him. She's like,
oh, stepping on the sidewalk now, Gene. Oh, why are you stepping on the sidewalk?
I also like that they made their castle, like, there's the only castle that was truly in danger of being swept away by the ocean. They're like, let's do it right by the ocean, right here.
Yeah,
like,
I want the best view.
Your financial planning.
Yeah, we're going to have the best view out of everybody. Just put it right here on the end. We're going to have the biggest pool, too. I got one of the 5-car garage. Also, sidewalk. Where's the sidewalk going to be, Eugene?
Hey, where did that castle go? It was swept away. You did not follow building codes.
A little crab comes over and repossesses the castle.
No crab MD.
Those fish need infusions. Those fish need fishier faces.
Hey, they really look hungover. That jellyfish, it's like so sad looking. Let's make him a rigid. Portuguese man of war.
I was laughing so much at the beginning because she goes,
hey girls, we all chill mode today. What y'all do this morning?
And Heavenly goes,
I took care of my husband. What'd you do?
Fucking Heavenly. I did not need the mental image of you sitting on Dr. What's his name?
Daddy. I forget. I think Daddy's actually kind of cute.
He looks
in sort of like a bear way, you know?
He looks so completely checked out, Daddy.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah, he refused to show up to therapy also. He's like, I'm just going to chill and nap here for the next 5 hours.
Yeah, and she says, well, Daddy, listen to all those. Because she starts talking in baby voice whenever she's around him and calling him Daddy. It really is creepy. And he just looks at her like, blink, blink, ugh. But she's like, Daddy, down to therapy, it seemed like we're the best couple there. We got the best marriage out of everybody, Daddy.
You know, you got that one cheating. You got that one. And look at us, just so happy, Daddy.
He's like, get out. Get out of the room now.
Leave me alone. I think they actually do have a pretty good relationship, more or less.
I don't know, but he just seems like such a grumpy dude. And she was saying,
yeah, like Lisa Nicole, like, you know that's a lie, right, Daddy? That her husband couldn't come because you're in the ER, doctor, Daddy, and you just have to give 2 weeks notice.
And he goes, well, yeah, in the ER, though, it is very busy. It's a difficult job, and maybe he just couldn't get out. She goes,
oh, well, I think you just tried to help them out, Daddy, but okay. Okay.
Well, that's a perfect segue into talking about Lisa Nicole, because that was the big thing, you know? Last episode, Lisa Nicole showed up solo. She's like,
well, Darren can't be here because he has to work at the ER. We'll come tomorrow.
And then today, it's tomorrow. And she's like,
I just spoke to Darren. He's on his flight. He'll be here in 5 minutes.
And then, you know, so she has to go to the couples therapy alone without Darren. And she's like,
I just have to say, this is the best group of women in the entire world, even though you're all bitches and don't support my clothes or my pursuit of a baby.
They're like, oh, and Toya's like, well, you don't even need a baby. Why do you have a baby for? And she's like, eh. It was just like a lot of noise.
Yes. So she's for a couple, so many things about Lisa Nicole. One, run. Just run, girl. Yes. I mean, this is, no one knows what truly goes on in a couple. And I get that. And it really is nobody's place to judge what's going on. But you're obviously forcing this to work with a man who has just checked out. Now, if you're going to be okay with your man cheating and you're going to have kind of an open relationship, that's fine. A lot of marriages work like that. But if you're going to cry every time he cheats when he's blatantly fucking you over on national TV and lying to your face over and over on national TV, we all see it. You see it. You watch the episodes back. I mean, at some point you have to, it's like,
she's in denial.
Who said it? Who said it in this episode? Someone
I can tell you. I can tell you exactly what happened. Basically, Lisa Nicole, if I'm right, you can correct me if I'm wrong. So Lisa Nicole, she actually has, believe it or not, I thought a pretty nice little monologue. I don't remember if it was to the women or to us, but she's like, you know, when you go through, when you've had to deal with infidelity, and she's crying. She's like, when you've had to deal with infidelity, it's the hardest thing in the world, and you just want to move past it, and you're just trying so hard not to be reminded of it. You're hoping you can trust this person again, and you're trying, and to have people remind you of it, it's so difficult. It's so insulting when it's so raw. It is the toughest thing in the world. And she says this stuff, and then cuts to Heavenly being like, well, a blind man can see you have issues with your marriage. Like, for a moment, I was feeling for Lisa Nicole, and then Heavenly is like, no.
Well, this excuse that Darren had. Okay, first, he just couldn't come because he didn't miss his flight. He just couldn't do it. Okay, so then the next day, he was flying, but he missed his connecting flight at LAX. I'm like, oh, really? So now he gets a night alone in LA?
Yeah, really? By the way, there's like that a million sound flights fishy? From... Yeah, a million flights from LA to Hawaii, by the way, because it's like the main Hawaii hub. It's like the main Hawaii layover place. He could have, it's not a problem.
Yeah, and she is pissed. I mean, she is really pissed.
Because she's now being humiliated, and she knows it.
Yeah, she knows it. And when she said at the couples therapy, she's like, look, I want a baby. That's it.
A baby is not something to be judged, period.
And they're like, okay. And first it's Curtis who's like, look, I'm not trying to throw shade. I'm not just Curtis. Saying. Wait, what?
Curtis wasn't there. You mean Eugene? Was it Eugene? Or
I get all the husbands confused. Simone, okay. Simone's husband.
Oh, Cecil.
Cecil. He's like, now look, I'm not throwing any shade. It's just that when you say you want a baby, it can't. You say I want to have a baby, not we want to have a baby. You know. Mm-hmm. And then the husband's off saying whatever. He's totally saying he doesn't want to have a baby, which he didn't bring up. He just alluded to. And she's like, yeah, but... And then she just keeps going on. And she's really upset and has a right to be. And it does... It must be awkward to be sitting there when everybody's criticizing your husband and he's not there.
Yeah.
And she can't defend him.
For her. Yeah.
And then Heavenly... What it... Oh, Quad told her, Lisa Nicole, nobody has... You can do whatever you want with your life. And nobody has the right to tell you what to do with your life. But you can't write a script for other people to perform on how to react to your life. I cannot receive a script on how Quad will react to the news of you having a baby.
Quick, I'll be a producer, and you be a screenwriter. Okay. Mrs. Nicole, welcome to my office. I am Quad the producer. You go.
Now, have you saved any money, Lisa Nicole, for this baby?
Have you paid taxes on your groceries, Lisa Nicole?
Did you know that Geico could save you 15% or more?
Yeah, and I liked that point that Quad made, because you can say whatever you want, and other people can say whatever they want too. And if you're going to be the one who's going to sit there crying about it, yes, I get that it would hurt your feelings, but you have to be confident enough in what you're doing to not care. Of course someone's going to say about a 50-year-old woman, you shouldn't be having a baby. What the fuck, are you crazy? Especially when your husband's saying he doesn't want to have one. So just
and then,
deal.
And then,
you know?
And then Heavenly started going in on Lisa Nicole, because Heavenly is still really angry that Lisa Nicole basically implied that she was an alcoholic by saying that she was always like that she was hiding booze in her coffee cup or whatever. But I have to say, later on, Mariah made a good point, which is like, well, honey, if you question someone's sexuality, then you're allowed to, you know, you're allowed to ask what's in their coffee cup. It's like, it's true, Heavenly, you know. You got to be careful. If you're going to start hurling those stones about Darren being gay, it's going to come back at you, and it might come back in a way that's like hits below the belt.
Yeah, and Toria also did that. She was like, and your gay-ass husband. So she actually went up to Lisa Nicole at one point and was like,
I just wanted to say I'm very, very sorry about saying your husband was gay. I was very angry, and I didn't mean it. And I want you to know that when you are sad because your husband is walking funny after getting a BBC, that you can always call me. I love gay people.
It's like not helpful at all.
Did we ever get a follow-up from the guy last season who was like, yeah, I slept with Darren? Because, you know, I remember when it happened, we really felt like Quad was up to some bullshit. Like, she paid off this guy to say this. But it's kind of amazing because it's really the first time we've had a gay rumor on one of these shows where the rumor was someone saying, I slept with him, you know?
Well, we didn't think that she paid him to say it. He was already saying it. I think she just got him to the event.
Yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah, he was all over the internet. I don't know what happened to him. I haven't read anything about him.
Because that's a big deal. And sort of kind of, I feel like we didn't get the follow-up that we deserve.
Yeah, and I forgot, you forget season to season how evil these women can be. Like, Quad is really doing a good job this year, I think, for the most part, of acting mature and being nice. I mean, she's doing the best she ever has, for sure. But then when she's saying nice things to Lisa Nicole, it's like, oh, yeah, you were the one who brought that guy on camera to try and ruin her life. Oh, yeah.
Well, it was funny because Lisa Nicole was like, well, Darren's not here yet. And then Quad's like, Lisa Nicole, I support you right now. And she's like, he just missed his flight. That's all.
Well, that's.
Of course not.
She kept telling lies because first she said he missed his connecting flight. And then the next to Simone or somebody, she's like, oh, he had to work, but he'll be here tomorrow. Like, she was telling different stories. Oh, I kind of felt bad for her, but then the other part of me doesn't. It's like the kids still have two parents at home. I mean, they're nannies, but still, like, they've got people to take care of and get rid of that fool.
Yeah. Lisa Nicole, I want to say you can do better. I'm actually not sure. So we'll see.
There's one point where all the husbands are standing around talking and Mariah comes up and Toya's husband, Eugene, is like, well, look, the gay rumor is fine because as an ER doctor, if the rumor is that you're gay, who cares? You can still cut up on somebody and sew them back up. Like, who cares? But the alcohol rumor, that's even worse because if someone says you're an alcoholic, then your career is ruined because no one wants to come get surgery by a drug person, you know? Mm-hmm. And Mariah goes, well, what did she say? She's like, I could forgive an alcoholic rumor, but if someone said my husband were gay, that is something I would not accept. And then she walks off and he's like, whoa, she just walked off.
Yeah.
And all the men started cracking up because she was acting like she was in some like crazy dramatic woman relationship. She's like, that was a good
one. So anyway,
Quad is getting all the ladies together as a surprise. She's like, ladies, may I speak with you privately on the side of the dinner table, which is not the public side? And they're like, okay. And Mariah's like, is it about me? And she's like, you tripping. And so Mariah refuses to go talk to the ladies. And she's like, now, unfortunately, Miss Mariah could not be here because her status level of paranoia won't allow her to travel to the side of the table outside of the public realm. And Mariah's like, I heard my name.
Quad loves a superfluous syntax.
So basically she said last time we got together was for Dr. Jackie trying this boob thing and we started a big fight and it ended bad, so I got a photographer to come over and do a reshoot of the boobs for Jackie to make her feel better, and so they all agreed to do it. And Mariah's like, they're calling me a boob over there. I'm not going to take that bullshit.
They're talking about how I don't have a job.
And that was pretty much the episode, right?
Yeah. More or less.
Yeah. It was overall really a good episode, and it made me cry. So, I mean, I always think if you can make me cry, then you've done something. I don't know right or wrong, but I appreciate it. Thanks for reminding me I have feelings, okay?
Well, everyone, we hope you have a great weekend. We look forward to podcasting again next week during our anniversary week.
All right. Love you guys.
Everyone go enjoy yourself a BBC this weekend.
Keep searching till you find one. We'll talk to you next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.